MRG Live is happy to present Anomaly with his live band at the Wise Hall on Saturday, February 24th, with support from Blue Wednesday. Anomaly has toured his electro jazz project all over the world, but this February, the Montreal-based artist embarks on a full Canadian tour for the very first time. Come out to experience the innovative fusion of electronic beats, jazz harmonies, and funky grooves from the one and only Anomaly, live in concert with his band. Don't miss Anomaly at the Wise Hall in Vancouver on February 24th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com.
And here call the dice. They are coming out. Are you shooting, sir? And here they go.
11.
On 11. It is betting time.
Ready.
Hey, it's your boy Gak from Exploding Head Movies on Monday nights here. Have you heard? It's Fun Drive.
Do it.
Fun Drive runs from February 1st to February 8th here on CITR, and we're working on replacing our antenna, our transmitter, and rebuilding an on-air studio, and we would need your help.
Say it.
Yes. I do.
Say yes to CITR. We've been in love with you for over 80 years, and we want to keep that relationship going. Please visit donate2citr.ca. That's donate2citr.ca to donate to the 2024 edition of Fun Drive here on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Sure. Danger. Enough.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Musics on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Burr, joined alongside me as per usual by
Hugh Denna.
And we have an extremely special guest here today. Our second ever guest, actually. And it's Sam Schinbein. My good friend Sam is here. Sam, can you say something? Oh no, I can't. Is this not the ox?
That is the ox.
Why can't I hear him? Oh, no. What the hell is... Oh, man.
Roll the clips.
Anyway, Hugh, can you fill the air while I figure this out?
Yeah. So, today is Monday, February 5th. Sam is here because we are going to talk about, indulge, and discuss in Lyrical Lemonade's debut album, Cole Bennett's Lyrical Lemonade, which gained notoriety like around 2016-17 for his kind of unique, or his just like his really hip-hop centric kind of almost music video label. He gained popularity just doing all these music labels. I remember Mixed Personalities. I remember Bleed by Blueface. I can't remember what the really first big one was. He did a lot of Yeet songs. And along the way, he clearly garnered all of these cool connections with pretty mostly hip-hop people, but a pretty wide variety of people in the hip-hop space. And all these years later, he has released an album under Lyrical Lemonade with a plethora of names from across the hip-hop spectrum. Old people, new artists, kind of legendary artists in here. And yeah, we're going to talk about it today. It came out 10 days ago, or 11 days ago now, or I guess 10 days ago. And yeah, Sam is here because he is kind of our local, he's kind of like still really in tune with this side of hip hop, which kind of Bird and I almost, because of this radio show, we can't really get that deep into that side of hip hop because we're kind of focusing on so much mainstream music, and this side of hip hop is almost more niche at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sam is here to kind of give us a interesting perspective from someone who has kind of stayed tapped into this sound. And yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Sam, can you try talking again?
Hello.
Yeah, he's really low.
You're really okay now.
Hello.
All right, we can actually hear you now. Excellent.
Perfect. There we go.
So yeah, so a big reason why I wanted Sam on here in particular, aside from what Hugh just said about him, but also because he is the first person who told me that this album was going to be a thing. Like, months before there was, I saw, like, you know, online discussion about an upcoming album, way before any singles had come out, way before any of that, you were like, hey man, there's going to be a Lyrical Lemonade album coming out. And then, like, months later, news finally starts to come out about it. So, you know, you had your ear to the ground on this, so it felt appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, no, it was really enjoyed hearing that news, because that was something that I've always kind of looked forward to growing up, watching Lyrical Lemonade kind of develop. And, you know, I've always, a big component of why I am in love with, you know, I love music so much now is can be attributed to Lyrical Lemonade. So to hear they were actually creating an album was pretty exciting, and something that I'm very excited to talk about here today. So,
excellent. So I guess then the thing we should lead with that we often end up leading these discussions off with is expectations. You know, what were what?
No, have Sam go first.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, what were your, going into this, we can talk about it as well after you, but, like, what were, in the lead up when the singles started coming out, when you started getting, like, the track list and the list of names of features and stuff, kind of, what were your expectations? What did you think we were getting into?
Well, originally when I heard that the project was, you know, potentially going to be an idea, there's obviously some names that, you know, are pretty synonymous with Lyrical Lemonade that, you know, you'd expect would be on an album like this. And, you know, that includes artists such as, you know, Little Tekka and Ski Mask the Slump God and, you know, Babytron, you know, people like that, that Cole Bennett's had a pretty close relationship over the past couple of years that he's worked with on multiple different music videos. And yeah, so there's definitely some names, you know, when it popped up that I was expecting were going to be on the album. But I was also, the part that I was so excited about a record like this is you really don't know who is going to be on it and what the creative vision is going to be. And ultimately, I wasn't really expecting a lot. I expected, you know, there's probably going to be some songs I really enjoy, and there's going to be some songs that I probably don't enjoy. And I think that's the beauty of a project like this, is that there's so many different types of sounds and styles on a record like this that I think that there's a song for everybody, you know.
Yeah, it is quite the diverse record. For me, coming into this, my expectations were pretty initially, like, influenced by, like, the first single, which was Doomsday with Corday and Juice WRLD, which is very much, the best way I can describe it, like a quirky hip-hop song where you've got kind of like a bouncy beat and the two guys are going back and forth with each other on the song. And so I was kind of expecting the whole album to sort of be just kind of like quirky hip-hop songs. And I think the project that we got definitely has quite a bit of that, but there's still like a fair amount of diversity, and some songs like Hummingbird towards the end of the record is just like a girl and her guitar pretty much, and it's so different than a lot of like the rest of the album. So there's still quite good variety that we ended up getting. And I really didn't know what to kind of expect in terms of quality when you have such a variety of artists. Like, every song on this album has like two or three features or two or three artists on it. And so just when you have that much variety, it's kind of hard to anticipate what the result is going to be, what the chemistry is going to be and all that. So I was expecting something kind of quirky, which I think we did get, but in terms of like overall quality, I really had no gauge as to what we were getting into. What were your expectations, Mr. Dana?
Unlike you and Sam, I actually wasn't aware that there was a Lyrical Lemonade album in the works until I heard probably Guitar in My Room. one of the singles. There was like five singles. And when I did hear that there was an album coming, I'm someone who thinks and kind of trusts Cole Bennett's creative instincts and directions. Just from watching all of his music videos, they're always cool. Often they make the song much better. They create a good vibe with the song. So I felt like, even though his specialty is obviously visuals and not sonics, I thought that this... I was excited for the record. I do have to say that the amount of singles that came out kind of hindered my excitement just because there was only so many tracks and like half of them had already come out.
Yeah.
And I'm always someone who loves to eat lots. So like when something comes out and I've kind of just digest the entire thing. The singles were all pretty good. And when Fallout came out, I got very excited for the record. And I think it's worth reiterating the point Sam made that an album like kind of a compilation album like this, it's always going to be fun, kind of regardless of maybe the quality of the music, just because there are so many different voices and ideas across the record that, but behind someone like Cole Bennett and with the name Lyrical Lemonade, it's just... I thought it was going to be highly unlikely the album was going to be bad. And like you said, this is another album that I was impressed with how, like Sam mentioned that there are so many different sounds and there's a song for everyone, which we had mentioned on the 21 Savage album that I felt like that there was enough diversity with the production and the samples and the features that there was a sound for everyone. This is the same. I feel like you said, there is Hummingbird, there's like the slow R&B, there's kind of the alt rock, there's like the hardcore kind of 808 rap with Say a Grace. Then there's kind of like the odd songs with like Snot and Six Dogs and like Equilibrium with Babytron.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost my train of thought, but I think I was just kind of reiterating points that Sam had made. But yeah, this is an album that, again, breached my expectations. And I think that I was kind of expecting it. The way that, I don't know, I was thinking about it is that they were going to try... Oh, I honestly thought it was going to sound outdated, to be honest. I thought that it was going to be a bunch of people trying to make a sound that kind of wasn't kind of... in people's ears or minds anymore, and it's not what happened.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with the direction it went, and I was impressed by how coherent the album felt, even though the sonics and the kinds of songs were all over the place.
Yeah, this is definitely a list of names that is certainly kind of a blast from the near past, because you've got... Sheck West, Ski Mask the Slump God, Chief Keef, Lil Tecca, Juicy J, Sway Lee, and so on. Juice WRLD, Cordae. So you are kind of, like, just in terms of, like, the artists here, you are kind of stepping into a 2017 time capsule a bit, which, nothing wrong with 2017. If I could go back there, I probably would. Yeah, certainly a bit of a blast from the past in terms of the tracks.
But on that point...
In terms of the names on the tracks.
On that point, I assume that wasn't what they were trying to do, but let's say that's what they were doing. I think that the aspects of that sound that were present on this record were done really well. Like, kind of, like, the things that were, like, kind of headline or just kind of, like, really huge parts of music back then. Kind of, like, there's a bunch of, like, really random bars. Like Lil Durk is, like, let's watch Tubi in the car.
Yeah.
And someone else has there's a bunch. Chief Keef's entire verse
mm-hmm.
is just kind of, like, odd and funny. And all these, like, kind of contemporary analogies that are kind of odd. And then, like, of course, the use of classic samples and, like, the voice-modulated beats and, of course, good features. I think that they really, like, if, like, kind of, like, the they took a little bit of the Stardust from that time and they kind of sprinkled it on this sound, but it doesn't sound like that. It almost sounds like a second wave. Like, they almost evolved the sound for this record, and it's an impressive record.
I like that. I like that kind of analogy. So I guess like, so for Sam, for you, like, what were some of your favorite songs on the album? We can start getting into that.
I think what I love about a record like this is that it feels nostalgic, but it's also quite new. Like, you have some newer artists that have definitely, you know, come out recently and have become a lot more popular. Tizo Touchdown, with, you know, artists that I haven't heard of, like Little B in God knows how long. So, you know, you kind of have this mesh of new and old. And I really like that. You know, you look back at that, you talk about it, sounds like it's almost from, you know, parts of it sound like it's from 2017. And I think, like, a song like With the Fish is an exact, you know, representation of that, given that I haven't heard a Six Dog song in 4 or 5 years now, at least. So, you know, I really enjoyed that component of it. You know, if there were some standout songs for me that I got the most enjoyment out of, I definitely think Fly Away is one of the more standout songs on the record. I think it does a really good job with the different combination of artists, you know, Ski Mask, Slump God, and Jid. I think that's a really good combination that I'd like to see those two artists work together again in the future. Mm-hmm. I also really like Chief Keef and Little Yachty with Say Your Grace. I think that was, you know, a really awesome combination, quite honestly. And the music video for that song has a bit of a fun story, because Cole Bennett somehow managed to get Chief Keef in a suit. And he was on a show talking about that and how hard that was to get Chief Keef in a suit. So, it's a good story behind that, but I thought the song was excellent. And, I really liked Fallout too. I have to say, I really like Gus Dapperton on that song. I think he did a really good job. His vocals sound amazing.
Oh yeah.
I really enjoy a lot on this record. If I could critique it at all, I think that sometimes it tries to do a way too much, at once, which, you know, it's understandable. I'd rather see, you know, a record like this go for it than hold back. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to bash it too much, but I definitely think there's some times where there's just a little bit too much going on. Like, I think First Night sounds great, but there's just way too many artists on it. And it just sounds like a mix of just way too many people on one song.
Yeah.
So
it's also got one of the faster paced beats too. So yeah. Not only are you being hit with all these different people, but it's also coming at you so fast.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's some combinations that don't work as well as maybe I thought they would have. I didn't think Little Dirk and Kid Cudi was the best combination. It wasn't bad, but I definitely think, you know, you could have paired either of those artists with somebody else. You know, it might have suited the song a little bit better.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe some of the features felt a bit tacked on, especially with like a song like Fallout, which I just mentioned. I feel like Joey Badass was kind of just tacked on to the end of that song. It didn't really add a lot to it. It was just kind of there to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, was it bad? No, but like I didn't really see a reason for it being there, I guess. So you're gonna get that with a record like this. You got 14 songs and God knows how many artists on it. You know, not everything is gonna stick the landing, but I do love how, you know, in each song there seems to be some sort of direction or, you know, aim it's trying to get at. And, you know, it sometimes gets there with Fly Away and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another song that I think that point that you made of with like the Joey on Fallout, another song that I think suffers from that too is Hummingbird, where you have Tizo Touchdown coming in at the very, very end of the song to give like a 30-second feature where the instrumental just completely changes and he's not really rapping or singing. He's just kind of talking and saying things that don't really rhyme, and it's just super clunky and really hurts, like, what I think is one of the best songs on the album. Just such, like, a beautiful song up until that, like, last little chunk of the song where it just does not stick the landing because they've just put, I guess, too many people onto this one song. And it just doesn't work out there. I mean, if he had, like, a better verse, it would have been fine, but it just was so just out of the blue compared to everything else on that song. I don't really know what he was going for or why they did that. But yeah, so I think that's another song too that suffers from just an over concentration of folks. For me, the songs that really stood out, the main one that really stands out as like my favorite song on the whole album, I think, is Doomsday with Juice WRLD and Corday. It was the lead single, and like I said, it had like that nice kind of quirky sound that I liked about it. And I also like how like Juice and Corday are going back and forth on the song. Their portion in the middle where they're just kind of trading bars back and forth, and they have really strong chemistry on the song. And I think the whole thing just sounds really good. I like some of Corday's lines, like taking these people to school, LeBron James. I thought that was a funny bar. Fallout, as you've mentioned, as Hugh has mentioned, one of the highlights on the entire album. Gus Dapperton's singing is amazing on it, and Lil Yachty brings a good verse too. And then This My Life is another highlight for me on the album too. I think like the Kid Laroi's verse is especially strong. And it's really like that sort of 2017-ish crew with Lil Skies, Lil Tecca, and the Kid Laroi. And it's a pretty self-reflective song from the three of them. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the consciousness. And and Laroi's verse is especially strong, in my opinion. So for me, those are the three that stand out. The song that I think kind of the lowest point on the album is With the Fish, in my opinion, with Snot and Six Dogs, because that song just doesn't really go anywhere, in my view. They both have pretty slow flows, and neither of them sound like super engaged on the song, in my opinion. So that's probably, I think for me, that's like the lowest point. Is that one. But like other than that, like the album's got a pretty high floor. So there's like a dud, but other than that, like it's got a pretty high floor. Hugh, what were some of the,
I mean, I'm gonna reiterate that point. I think that a lot of credit needs to be given to Cole Bennett, because there's 34 artists on this song, on this record, and almost every artist gives a strong verse. I think the, like, maybe some people who were particularly good, J.I.D. was fantastic. I, like you said, I thought Kid Laroi and his headtones were fantastic. I really liked Lil Durk. I thought Lotto was really good, actually. Juice WRLD was impressive. Obviously, Gus Dapperton's melody was great. I thought Baby Tron was really clever. I thought Lil Tracy was pretty funny. Yumi is obviously really good. And then Jack Harlow and Dave were both really good. I thought that the first time when I came back through the album, I was like, wow, like the floor on this album is like impressively high. I mean, there's more impressive verses than poor verses, which is just obviously inherently more hard to do. Mm-hmm. And like you said, probably the only, I think there's maybe four bad, like Juicy J's even pretty good. And that's someone whose kind of music I don't usually kind of enjoy. But I think Snot was particularly bad. Tizo Touchdown doesn't really work. Joy Badass is kind of not even there.
Yeah.
But everyone else, he is right. I think that Cudi, I actually thought the song was, Guitar in My Room actually became one of my favorite songs, kind of solely because of the Kid Laroi part. I didn't,
Or the Lil Durk part?
Yeah, the Lil Durk part. The Kid Leroy, I keep saying the Kid Leroy. The Kid Leroy has my favorite verse of the whole record with This My Life. But I did think that Sam hit the nail on the head saying that Cudi and Durk, I'm not saying that maybe it doesn't work together. Maybe it's just kind of the sound. Because Durk, I was impressed with Durk again. Durk is someone who kind of continually impresses me ever since Laugh Now, Cry Later.
They're just both kind of isolated incidents on the song, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like on an album where there's a lot of good chemistry and people bouncing off each other and kind of flowing directly from one into the other. On that song, they're kind of isolated incidents from each other.
Yeah, it just really, it kind of like reiterates the classic 2017 vibe. Like, this feels like a song that Lil Durk had like pretty much finished and made, and then he sent it to Cudi, and Cudi threw something on. Like, that's kind of how it feels. It's still a good song. It's definitely, like, if I had to say my three favorite songs, I would say Fallout 1, Hummingbird 2, and then it's a split between This My Life and Guitar in My Room. Honorable mention to Say Your Grace and Stop Giving Me Advice. But yeah, I would agree. Like, I think that it's incredibly hard to get this many artists who, by the way, a lot of these people are people that I think we think could fall both either way. If these people could easily give you a bad verse. Most of these people. Like, Eminem obviously is not going to give you a bad verse. JID's not going to give you a bad verse. But people like Lil Tecca could have come out here and laid a stinker. Or like someone like Lotto could have come out and just not worked with Swae Lee and Aminé, who are kind of the opposite end of rap. But it just, everyone does well, and it's somehow coherent. And I don't know if I give I'm going to give most of the props to Cole Bennett, but everyone else obviously deserves a lot of credit. This is honestly one of the best hip-hop compilation albums I've heard in a long time. Like, I can't even really think of, like, the last, like, hip-hop compilation I can think of that's, like, really good is, like, Sucker for Pain off of Suicide Squad, which has, like, 9 people. Mm. It's really hard to do all the little things right in anything. And this album excels at that. All of the verses are good. All of the choruses are clean. And it just blew me away. And I props to Lyrical Lemonade, because I haven't seen any of the music videos. I was going to wait till they were all out and just go through them all, but I might have to watch the Say a Grace one now.
Just for the suit scene.
Yeah, yeah. And I need to watch that interview. That's pretty funny little bit of info. But yeah, I just keep coming back to how high the ceiling is, how high the floor is. The ceiling isn't like American Dream high, like 21 Savage, where we're both just like, whoa, like I forgot this guy was this good. But I mean, this is a really impressive album in its own way, and it's definitely something that people should listen to if they like, even if you don't like hip hop. Like it's kind of a clunky and fun record.
Yeah.
It's something that you can't be bored on, and I think that's something that it can be really hard to do, particularly with everyone's attention spans being fully fried. This is an album that is really a roller coaster, and it's a fun roller coaster.
I like that.
I think it's got an identity more than anything.
Yes.
I think that's it's not like a throwaway record. Kind of when I think of like a compilation record, I think of something like a Quality Control or something like that. It's just a bunch of random artists together. So, you know, I think this has got a voice. So, yeah, the Quality Control. But no, I think it's got an identity, and I think that's important because that will bring people back to the record consistently. So, you know, I think you nailed it on the head there. Yep.
No, and that's another really good point you're making, Sam. You're making a lot of awesome points. Somehow Cole Bennett took this kind of identity that's part of his music videos. And I feel like he did a pretty good job translating that feeling into these songs. Maybe that's just because we know that this is Lyrical Lemonade and I can like kind of picture like the music videos for all of them. But I think that is something that is just so hard to do, period, is to have 14 songs where you're trying to convey different messages all kind of sound similar, and then to throw 34... probably 45 different creative heads in with all the production. I haven't even checked the production
credits
yet.
There's like 8 people credited on some songs for production.
Like which ones? I'm curious. The Fallout's probably like largely just Gus Dapperton.
Like This My Life has 6 people credited for production. So, and I think there's others that have more, but like there's definitely a lot of people involved in putting this thing together. And I think the identity point is a good one as well.
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the main takeaways of the record, is that this is obviously a Lyrical Lemonade record. And this is not just a bunch of singles from people that Cole Bennett likes to work with, or this isn't just like a collection of music videos. This is a Lyrical Lemonade album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done really well. We keep saying that, but the first time I listened to this, I told you, Bird, I was like, oh, this is kind of underwhelming. I came out and we talked about it for a bit. We were like, yeah, I saw someone say this would have been dope in 2019. And I was kind of agreeing with that. But the more I listened to it, the more I'm like, no, this works right now.
Yeah,
and this is cool.
It's warmed on me quite a bit from the first listen to.
Yeah.
On that point, on that note, perhaps, because it's the midway point here, should probably play a song, have a little break.
Pay the bills.
Yeah, pay the bills, keep the lights on, keep Jasper employed. Because, God, we need to keep that man at the station for as long as we possibly can. So, I'm thinking we play Hummingbird. It's one of my favorite songs on the album, despite how I crapped on the final verse on it a couple minutes ago. And it's also the only song that, or like maybe the only song that is clean. So... That's the other reason.
It also kind of just encapsulates these points we're making, that it is such a varied album and there is a song for everyone. And this is definitely a song that, like, someone like some of my best friends, I would tell them, oh, go listen to Lyrical Lemonade album. And they'd be like, I don't want to listen to Lyrical Lemonade album. But if I played them this song, they'd be like, oh, I really like this song. So this is definitely a song worth playing. And it is also one of my favorite songs.
All right. So this is Hummingbird with Umi, Saw Baby, and Tizo Touchdown from Lyrical Lemonade's All Is Yellow.
It's been a while since I was 17 again, and I was young and love was not something I knew much about. I'm older, got myself thinking about what is love and loss. When it's hard, it gets a lot for me. And you called and you called me yesterday. Yeah, yeah. And I hear you calling back to me. Yeah. And when you come home.
I got up and got it, nobody told me leave. I took ignition with nobody permission. I had to risk it on a mission, trying to find a borderline fish. Got a wonderful voice, but I always listen. I fly high in the sky, I got 20/20 vision. I spread my wings real wide and cut the wind. I glide in the clouds, making calls to all my friends.
gets the worm. I eat both. The sun only seems to burn. When I fly close, the humans only aim at me. When I fly low, the snakes only smile at me. When they get hungry, I can feel a breeze through the leaves. Winter's coming. I'm flying through the trees and debris. Wings humming. I don't have a single regret since I left the nest. It's just a couple of twigs. It's just an empty egg, right?
Mark your calendar for February 29th, 2024, because the Study and Go Abroad Fair is coming to Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center. Don't miss this free opportunity to start planning your next step in education at the undergraduate or postgraduate level, or to travel abroad. Meet with top universities, graduate schools, and professional schools from Canada and around the world to learn about the university and college programs on offer, scholarships, as well as travel, work, and volunteer opportunities worldwide. To learn more or to register for free, please visit studyandgoabroad.com and join us February 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center.
None of them are real special.
Yes, yes, yes. DJ Autonomy here from Copy Paste Radio. And sometimes people ask me, if you love CITR so much, why don't you marry it? And I thought,
what are you frightened of?
Why not?
Being alone, I guess.
If you love CITR just as much as I do,
dying alone, living alone,
make the pledge today.
Yeah.
Go to donate to CITR.ca.
Being alone, you know.
We're trying to keep this great community radio station going. We're trying to raise $20,000. Because CITR will never leave you alone. If you're ready to make the pledge, donate to CITR.ca.
MRG Live is happy to present Anomaly with his live band at the Wise Hall on Saturday, February 24th, with support from Blue Wednesday. Anomaly has toured his electro jazz project all over the world, but this February, the Montreal-based artist embarks on a full Canadian tour for the very first time. Come out to experience the innovative fusion of electronic beats, jazz harmonies, and funky grooves from the one and only Anomaly, live in concert with his band. Don't miss Anomaly at the Wise Hall in Vancouver on February 24th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com.
Hey, it's Everly from Dead Circle Haunt, a nature-based music show here on CITR. This week here at CITR, it's Fun Drive. The one time a year we ask you to support our programming with a donation, ideally in the name of your favorite show, Dead Succulent Haunt.
Look, we're asking for your support to help us keep local, independent, alternative voices on air. So if you can, please donate at donate2citr.ca.
I said yes to CITR because the programming and studio managers believed in me as a student. I was playing songs that had meaning to me and my passions of the outdoors and nature. I hope that's why you and your houseplants continue to tune in Thursdays at 5 p.m. to Dead Succulent Haunt.
If Dead Succulent Haunt has meant something to you, if CITR is your preferred station here in Vancouver, support us at donate2citr.ca. That way we can continue our presence as a community resource and platform for underrepresented voices and artists.
On behalf of Dead Succulent Haunt, I thank you for listening, and now back to the music.
And we back. I thing I failed to mention because it got thrown off by some technical difficulties at the start, but it is Fun Drive, folks, which means that this is the one time of year, as went over in that last ad, this is the one time of year CITR asks its listeners, please donate. Go to donate to CITR.ca if you have the means. It means a lot, helps keep the station going, helps keep, you know, keep shows like this one in existence, and gives people like us a platform to actually, like, get on the radio and talk about the things we want to talk about. It's really cool that we get to be able to do this, and it's only possible because of the support of the sponsors of the show, of the program, of the station, geez, and also, of course, the listenership as well. So if you have the means, any amount of money, donate to CITR.ca. That's all one word. Please do so. So, yeah, we're back here with Sammy and Huey and Birdie.
And, hey.
And for the last 20 minutes of the show here, we need to figure out what to talk about. I think a good thing... I think an interesting thing that was being talked about during the ad break between Sam and Hugh was just, like, the putting together of this album was, like, public in a private way, because you said that, Sam, you said that Cole Bennett had created an Instagram account for the rollout of this album. So it was, like, a private Instagram?
Yeah, so I don't know if he actually closed or not. I have really no idea. But originally it was just like to show kind of the process behind making a record like this, and the videos and whatnot. And it's called All Is Yellow. And he basically, I don't know, him discussing it, but he was going to close it once it hit a certain amount of followers. I don't know if he ended up following through with it or anything, but
like, yeah, closing the publicness, think, or closing the account altogether?
Just closing the, you know, it being public for everyone to follow. Yeah, yeah. So just making it a private account at that point. And he's been for the past, I want to say he made it in November or October was when he created it. So I've, you know, it's been interesting to see the creative process from that. It's a lot more work than I guess I thought it would be, especially if you're doing a music video for every single song, which I know that he is doing. So,
well, he kind of better be. It's kind of like his whole brand.
That's his specialty, right? Yeah. So, no, it was good though, and you know, you got some insight of you know, the different artists working with one another. You know how difficult it can be to get different artists out all at the same time for a specific, you know, video shoot. Mm-hmm. There was definitely some issues with that, but I think my favorite part just about the account itself was seeing how it was all put together, and just the, you know, the fans interacting with Cole, because he'd respond, you know, a couple times a day for like an hour. He'd just respond to messages. You could just, you know, message him, and you know, he'd answer your question if he got around to it. And it definitely gave you some insight into his mind, I guess, and where he was wanting the record to go and what he was envisioning for it. And yeah, that was super cool because I've never seen that before. So that was something I really enjoyed about it. And yeah.
Did you send him a message?
Did I? I can't remember. I think I asked him a stupid question or something. I can't remember.
But you mentioned that.
Hey, Cole, do you like white bread or whole wheat?
Yeah.
You mentioned that on that account, he even talked about how he had to scrap certain verses. Like, who did you say that he had talked about didn't make the cut?
So basically with the record, I know that there was a few artists that he wanted to work with and have them on the record. And you know, maybe there's a complication with that, or they didn't get a verse in time and they weren't able to make the, you know, the final cut for the record. But artists such as, I know Lucky originally had a verse on Say Your Grace with Chief Keef and Little Yachty, which I felt would have been a really good fit for that song. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would have been interesting. I think that one, he just didn't get the verse in time. Which, you know, unfortunate, but is what it is. I know BLP Culture was involved at some point. I don't think he got his verse in time as well. And then there's some other ones. I think Central C had worked with Cole Bennett at a certain point, and they ran into some complications there, and you know, he's not on the finished product and whatnot. But yeah, it was interesting to see his train of thought and where those artists would roughly end up at. I don't know which songs they all would have been on. With the, you know, the absence of Say Your Grace with Chief Keef and Little Yachty, it was the only one he directly said, yeah, it would have been on this song. So, but it's interesting because, you know, now with the addition of hindsight, you know, you kind of think, well, what would have that added to a record like this or taken away? Mm-hmm. And yeah, an interesting thought.
That's just crazy to me, just missing your due date like that, just your verse in for a project like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe
it's going into that though. Does it cost you money to make that verse?
That's true. I guess also I'm just someone whose motivation to get things done is pretty much solely based off deadlines. So like, if I had a deadline, I would feel like a lot of stress to get the thing done. But I guess also it's different than homework, where like you don't have to get the verse in if you don't feel like it.
And I don't know if. Because obviously the record label pays for the studio time as you're making your album.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess if you just made if you just wrote the verse on that allotted time. But that happens a lot, dude.
I know.
But like someone like Trippie Redd probably has so many verses he has to dish out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Who is some? I think he also missed CLB or Her Loss.
Yeah, I think it was CLB.
Yeah, he missed. I like.
Or no, didn't. Wasn't Trippie Redd supposed to be on God's Plan?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what, like, what a disaster that would have been for him. Or that's been for him.
Yeah.
Because, like.
One of those popular songs ever.
Yeah, of, like, our last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I haven't heard a song from Trippie Redd since, like, Miss the Rage, and that was, like, right as COVID hit.
Hey, man, he had an album recently.
Did you listen to it?
Not the whole thing, but he had like a song with it? Juice WRLD.
What was it?
It had a gray cover.
Oh, was this Mansion Music?
Yeah.
I watched Fantano's review of this, and he was just like, "This is fine."
Yeah.
But apparently, Fantano's fallen off. So.
I think there's always been some split, you know, ideas on Fantano on whether he's a good music critic or not.
Are you a fan of Fantano?
I don't know if I'd call myself a fan. I always kind of, well, I do watch his reviews just because I'm interested to hear what other people's opinions are. And I know he will always have an opinion on a record when it's released. Yeah, he's all right. I think on some of the hip hop stuff, he can be a bit harsh at times.
I feel like he's
just kind of a bit predictable at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like just based off the thumbnail and length of the review, I can approximate the score immediately.
No, I mean, but I also feel like once you can...
But that's kind of just the case with, like, following somebody for a long time.
I think that if you just listen to the record, you would know if he'll like it or not. Yeah. Like, rarely does Fantano give a score that I didn't think he would give. Like... Probably the most egregious one was when he gave Sexy Red a really high score.
Yeah, he gave her an 8.
Yeah, and like it's just like something that Fantano usually just like I remember when one of the Gunna albums came out and the whole thing was just like this odd skit.
Yeah, he gave a 1
Omega. He gave it like an Omega.
Literally
something.
An Omega out of 10. Which
and which is like kind of I expected something like that, but I do agree. Like Fantano kind of got, I mean, I haven't watched Fantano in a while. I used to kind of watch him religiously, but that would have been like 5 years ago now.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing too is on him specifically is just that like I feel like the reviews on average are getting shorter and shorter, as well, which is really the thing that informed my statement of like. Fantano fell off. Also just my own lack of personal interest in a lot of his videos nowadays. That and the reviews are getting shorter, I think, on average. Which just
I mean, dude, he's been doing it for like over a decade.
I know, he's been doing it and he comes up with like a video a day too.
Oh, more than that.
So
dude, I'm pretty sure he reviewed
The pace is incredible.
House of Balloons, which is like 2012.
Yeah, he did.
Which is insane.
He's since 2010, I think.
Dude, we were in like third grade. This dude has been reviewing records.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so long to...
Reviewing records on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's been doing this longer than that.
Like when you gotta review something, it really takes away from the record too. Like, because you have to listen to something so critically, mm-hmm. and you're looking for all these things that it's kind of a poor way to experience music, I find. Like the first time I listened to a record for this show,
yeah.
The second time I listen to it and I'm not as critical on it, I always like it more. And I think it's because I'm less looking for things to nitpick and talk about. So, like, that would just be a brutal way to digest music for 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because he also will go, like, song by song and pick things mm-hmm. apart. And what we do, we're kind of, maybe we're just worse at this than him. But, well, I mean, we definitely are. But we're kind of more, like, broad strokes, like, vibes, general sentiment stuff.
Yeah, I would rather...
I think that helps you from getting lost in the weeds of particular things.
Yeah, and I also think that if we're trying to... I would rather try to put someone on instead of turn someone off. And I feel like when you kind of synthesize the big ideas, that it becomes more interesting for people. Then, like, when I go and watch, like a Fantana review and I haven't listened to the record, it makes me not want to listen to the record because he's kind of told you everything that's wrong or good about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone says, oh, this is really good about it, I was impressed by this and I was impressed by that.
This album has an identity and there's a lot of variety in the artists. And da, da, da,
and
da,
the
da.
Production on this song is good and the production on that song is good. And then people are like, oh, well, I need to go listen to that. So that's like... I mean, I guess now we're just kind of spiraling into this Fantano talk, but shout out Anthony Fantano, because that dude has made some of my favorite music videos ever, honestly.
Yeah. It's still kind of hilarious how bent out of shape people get over one dude's opinion.
But, I mean, he's that guy.
He is that. No, but he is. But it's also, like, just because he didn't like it hasn't, like, officially decreed it to be bad.
I think that's cool, though. I think it's cool that someone who's fully independent of the music industry, like, has an impact on the players in the music industry. Like, I remember he reviewed Cherry Bomb, and he was, like, subtweeted by Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool for, like, just kind of like a content creator. I mean, I think he actually is a professional bassist.
There's also, I forget the song, but on Beer Bongs and Bentleys, also, like, Post Malone mentions Fantano by name as well.
Dude.
Because he gave Stoney a bad review.
Stoney?
Yeah.
Beer Bongs and Bentleys is unbelievable. We don't know. Shout out Beer Bongs and Bentleys. We've never mentioned Beer Bongs and Bentleys. I actually told you I think every song on Beer Bongs and Bentleys is good. Sam, what have you been listening to in the last year? Since we kind of did a retrospective review a few weeks ago. Curious to see.
Ooh, what have I been listening to here?
What did you
here,
enjoy from 2023?
2023.
Yeah, or just music you want to shout out.
I know you got that new. I know you've been frequenting the Victoria record stores, so.
Yeah.
Talk to us about vinyls you've bought then. What vinyls have you?
Well, I've been really big into vinyls. I've enjoyed them. I think it's a nice social thing to have. You know, I have buddies over when I'm at school, and you just put on a record and have a beer and hang out. It's kind of a nice social thing to do. But in terms of, like, what I've been listening to, I've been listening to a lot of, like, hard rock. So I've been listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin, which I've really enjoyed.
And this is all on the vinyl.
Yeah, not. I have a couple Led Zeppelin records. I don't have all of it, but I do listen to a decent amount on Spotify as well.
Led Zeppelin, but I've been listening to. Do you have on vinyl?
I have 3 and 2. I have those two, and then my buddy, my roommate that I live with, has 1, 4, and Houses of the Holy. So we kind of have almost everything.
Yeah, those are like the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'd like to. Yeah, I think. Physical Graffiti is a good one to get at 1.2 because that's a very different sounding.
I really like In Through the Outdoor too.
Yes. I you know what? At the end of the day, I think they're all good. You know, if you're just like, oh, which Led Zeppelin project listen to, you know, you can't really pick a bad one to go with. So just start somewhere and I'm sure you'll find something you enjoy. But yeah, I've been listening to a lot of the hard rock. You know, I've listened to a lot of Radiohead. I've really enjoyed that. I didn't really think that would be something I would enjoy as much as I did.
What's your favorite
in terms of
Radiohead song or record?
Well, my favorite record, and this is probably a bit controversial, but I really enjoy Kid A.
No,
I think Kid A is my favorite record. Yeah, everyone says OK Computer, but I think I like how weird Kid A is.
Oh, OK.
It's a very experimental record. And I don't know. I think it's, you can see like a lot of the influence that, you know, different records took from it. Like I listened to Radiohead and Kid A and OK Computer, and then I listened to like Coldplay and I'm like, ah, this sounds a little similar, you know, not like a copy at all, but I definitely think, you know, there's some similarities, you know, between an artist, you know, like that. I don't know. I really enjoyed Radiohead. MGMT, I've listened to some of their stuff. The record from 2018 actually was quite good. I didn't really realize how good that one is.
Really?
Little Dark Age. That was a good record. I actually really enjoyed that.
I'll have to listen to that. I haven't listened to an MGMT record since like the self-title, which would have been so long ago.
I think it's 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's the self-titled one's the one with kids on it, right?
No, mm-hmm. I think that's called October something.
Yeah.
Oracle
right.
Spectacular is Electric Feel.
Right. Yeah.
And kids. Yeah. And then self-title. Yeah. Self-title, I don't think has any hits. It's just kind of like sounds cool.
Yeah. But yeah, like kind of not necessarily hip hop I've been listening to. You know, Paul Simon, listened to a lot of that, like Graceland and whatnot, which is good. And David Bowie, you know, a little bit of a mix of everything, kind of, you know, change things up a little bit, but really enjoyed it. I don't know. I find it's fun to switch up your music taste and listen to some other stuff. And then when you switch back and forth, it still feels fresh. So, you know, now that I haven't listened to a lot of hip hop and, you know, coming back to the Lyrical Lemonade record, you know, it's like, wow, I really have enjoyed this, you know, I haven't heard a hip hop record in a while, but yeah, that's in terms of hip hop, I haven't really been too active in that. Mostly old stuff, but yeah.
What old stuff do you like to indulge in?
I like listening to some old X records.
Question Mark is so good. I had to go back and listen to Question Mark recently. I forgot how fun Question Mark was.
Really liked.
Are you? Oh no, is he lagging? Yeah. Shout out Zoom. Shout out Zoom for working.
Shout out Zoom for beaming him
I've
in.
Like, and from like that to 2020 range. I don't know. There's a lot of music that was made in that time period.
Okay. Apologies, folks. Internet's kind of failing us here. But it is 5:59. So if there's any time for the internet to start to fail us, now is the time. So, I think on that note, you know, on the note of Sam glitching out a bit and also him discussing what he's been into lately, I think that is our cue to sign off. So thank you all for listening to this episode of Music's on the Menu. Stay tuned to CITR for all the other great programming that the station has to offer. And of course, if you have the means, please go to donate to CITR.ca to support us through Fund Drive. It really helps us out a lot. And that's all. Have a good week, everybody. And thank you, Sam, for being here.
Deuces.
Thank you for hosting. Really appreciate it.
Of course. All right. We out.